This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Bipartisanship has been rare on Capitol Hill these days, but one area of agreement across the aisle is transparency in trade talks. While lawmakers aren't directly involved in trade negotiation, they must ultimately approve trade deals the U.S. strikes with other nations, and thus the need for transparency during negotiations. The issue came up as the Senate Finance Committee voted last week to advance Biden's USTR pick, Katherine Tai's, nomination to the full Senate. Chairman Ron Wyden.
I also want to work with her on continuing to expand transparency on our trade policy.
Ranking Republican Mike Crapo voted for Tai but criticized her answers to his written questions on trade talk transparency.
Rather than confirming her understanding that the USTR must provide negotiating proposals per statute, Ms. Tai's response noted she will, quote, consult with the Committee on Trade Negotiations, end quote.
Crapo noted that he and Chairman Wyden are on the same page on transparency, something both parties have sought in the past from administrations of the opposite party. Transparency could become more of an issue as authority expires in July for presidents to speed deals through the House and Senate without amendments, known as fast track or trade promotion authority. And in related trade news, President Biden inherited a challenging relationship between the U.S. and China, including a trade war, tariffs on both sides, human rights issues, and more. A Pew Research survey shows that 89%, or almost 9 out of 10 adults, consider China a competitor or an enemy rather than a partner. Many Americans also support taking a firmer approach to the bilateral relationship, whether by promoting human rights in China, getting tougher on China economically, or even limiting the opportunities of Chinese students to study abroad here in the U.S. Many in the survey also said that China's powerful economy, its dominance as a manufacturing center, sometimes at the expense of its environment and workers, and issues related to the U.S. and Chinese economic relationship are all concerns. Overall, Americans see the current economic ties with China as tenuous. Around two-thirds, or 64%, describe the economic relationship between the superpowers as somewhat or very bad. Just over half of the survey respondents said they have confidence in Biden to deal effectively with China. Bipartisan politics are far apart on the issue. 83% of Democrats say they have confidence in Biden to deal effectively, compared to only 19% of Republicans who say the same. And in a story of non-bipartisanship, the Senate Saturday passed the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package. The package, known as the American Rescue Plan, will extend federal unemployment benefits, offer up to $1,400 in direct payments to individuals earning less than $80,000, and increase funding for several nutrition assistance programs. Additionally, it authorizes several provisions to bolster rural and agricultural communities, including a pilot program to facilitate the distribution of vaccines and other medical supplies in rural areas, debt relief for historically disadvantaged farmers, and $4 billion to build resilience in the food system. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue says this legislation provides a lifeline that will help keep families afloat until their hardships subside. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack stated, "I'm grateful to the U.S. Senate for passing the bill," adding that the American Rescue Plan is historic, namely for the transformative debt relief it provides to Black, Indigenous, Hispanic, and other farmers of color. Vilsack says USDA stands ready to use these important provisions of the bill once it clears Congress and is signed into law by President Biden. The relief package passed on Saturday with a slim margin of one vote, with 50 Democrats voting yay and 49 Republicans voting nay. As farmers are ramping up towards the planting season, drought conditions have continued in many of the top corn-growing states. Last week, the U.S. Drought Monitor showed 11% of the Midwestern acres are in a moderate drought. Over half of the high plains are in severe drought, and 19% of the region is experiencing extreme drought conditions. For example, Iowa, the number one corn-producing state in the nation, faces extreme drought conditions in the northwestern part of the state. Roughly 10% of Iowa is in a severe drought. Soil moisture is more favorable here in Illinois, but the central part of the state is abnormally dry from about Jacksonville to Champaign. A small part of the east central region is in moderate drought, Nearly all of Nebraska faces some type of moisture stress at this point, with the southwestern corner of the state in extreme drought. The entire state of Minnesota is abnormally dry, with about 40% of the state, especially in the northern third, in a moderate drought. Only 9% of the acres in Indiana are in a moderate drought, primarily in the northwestern part of the state. More than half of Kansas is abnormally dry, while drought conditions are severe in the southern half of South Dakota. Ohio and Missouri have much less drought to deal with than other states. About 61% of Wisconsin is abnormally dry, with almost half of Michigan in the same category. In other ag news here on your Tuesday, farmers have until Monday of next week to make crop insurance decisions. It's been several years since the spring crop insurance price has been this high. The average price for December corn futures last month was $4.58 a bushel, and it was $11.87 for November beans. Those are the starting prices for crop insurance, and they're good ones, says University of Minnesota's Ed Usett.
Well, first of all, it's wonderful. The crop insurance levels are very high. That's a great thing to start with. And you got to have crop insurance. You got to have that. And then I'm telling producers, I'm just noting this tendency for the market to go lower. If we can assume a normal year, if we can assume some sort of a non-drought year, just a normal year in the Corn Belt, we're going to go lower by harvest.
Work from the University of Illinois agrees with that assessment, and it has Gary Schnittke advising farmers to take the highest RP policies they're comfortable with and to use ECO2 if they're willing to pay the premium. So for highly productive soils, 80 or 85% RP plus ECO to 90%, because he says it's worth it.
First off, I would say it's probably worth it because you're going to be protecting a higher revenue level. So if at all possible, think about that. But many farmers sort of have a budget in mind. If you want to keep in that $12 to $18 area, you're going to have to drop down from 85% to 80% or roughly 5%. And that's probably the case. If you did 80% last year, you're going to have to drop down to 75% to keep your premium about the same. Again, the good thing about dropping from 85 to 80 is you're probably still going to have a higher guarantee this year than last year at 80% versus 85% last year because of the higher prices.
Farmers on less productive soils, say those in parts of southern Illinois or in the far western Corn Belt, may have tougher decisions to make as it's related to ECO, even if they're inclined to stay the course on the RP policies. At least that's how Dan O'Brien from Kansas State sees it.
Is it an option? Yes. Is it costly? Yeah. So we need to balance the marginal cost, marginal benefit of going to those higher coverage levels, I guess, is maybe the most judicious thing I can say.
For those wanting to see how different coverage levels and options might work on their farm, the University of Illinois has a downloadable crop insurance decision tool. It's an Excel spreadsheet. Just type crop insurance decision tool into Google. It should be the first thing to pop up from the FarmDoc website. Moving on now to State of Illinois Ag News on your Tuesday, small business farmers across the state could soon sell directly to consumers instead of only selling at farmers markets under a new act. According to Kelly Lay, owner of D20 Pepper Products in Leroy, the Home to Market Act could bring small business farmers more opportunity.
You know, there's always that trade-off between safety and, you know, entrepreneurial spirit. And, currently, under the law, it's only legal to produce food out of your home kitchen if you're going to sell it at a farmer's market. So you cannot sell to your neighbor. You cannot go to, you know, Oktoberfest and sell at the local festivals and fairs. You can't have a cupcake stand out on the corner of your house. You can only go to a farmer's market. It's the only legal way to sell home kitchen goods. So the Home to Market Act really says, you know, hey, we've got all these people, especially with COVID and people home and baking. And I don't know about you, but I've seen some fabulous bread coming out of people's kitchens. But, you know, these are small businesses that just need a chance to thrive. And farmer's markets really aren't very viable. You know, they were difficult to get into this last year. There's not a lot of room and a lot of question about how many people will come to them. So with the Home to Market Act, we looked at expanding so that you will be able to sell from your home kitchen direct to customer. So if you say, I want to sell a hot sauce over Facebook directly to you, that would be legal. I could go to local fairs and festivals. I could go to the farmer's market still. Or if I just, you know, want to invite my friends over and sell them something out of my kitchen, as long as it follows the rules, which also got clarified in the Home to Market Act, that's perfectly legal.
In her second year of growing over 55 different varieties of peppers, Lay said State Representative Will Gazzardi of the 39th District is the bill's sponsor. A Chicago-based startup company launched Good Sport, which is a sports drink that's 97% dairy and aims to compete nationally against leading brands. The first of its kind natural sports drink is made with the goodness of milk and backed by science. Good Sport will be soon available on Amazon and at goodsport.com, but broader retail distribution is planned for later this year. The product was launched with support from the Dairy Checkoff and other industry groups, including the Checkoff-funded Center for Dairy Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The university showed Good Sport how ultrafiltration could harness milk's electrolytes, vitamins, and carbohydrates and remove its protein to create a clear, light beverage with a mouthfeel that consumers expect from a sports drink. Good Sport also learned how to source its main ingredients sustainably. Dairy companies often ultra-filter milk to use the protein to make products like cheese, but can't use the nutrient-rich part of the milk called permeate. That means Good Sport rescues a byproduct from dairy companies to produce its beverage. Good Sport carries dairy's healthy halo, says Pennsylvania dairy farmer Marilyn Hershey, who serves as the chair of the Dairy Management Incorporated. It's not only offering delicious refreshment and nutrition from dairy, but it also supports the industry's sustainability mission. It's a new way to talk about milk, and it's exciting for dairy farmers. And it looks like lemon shakeups and livestock shows will be returning this year. Fair season in Illinois was non-existent last year thanks to coronavirus, but a U of I Extension 4-H program coordinator says this year looks favorable and kids in 4-H programs will have a chance to compete. Angie Abernathy says they have been advised to plan for in-person shows at local county fairs.
And that might look a little bit different this year, just depending on COVID, of course, and how our numbers are sitting. You know, we're definitely going to be enforcing things such as wearing your mask and social distancing. You know, we may have to set things up to where we have fewer people in the room, but in-person is definitely looking like it's going to happen this year.
In a normal year, Illinois will see 104 county fairs and two state fairs between June and the third week of September. Moving on now into local ag news for your Tuesday. The Highland FFA chapter, along with the Green for Life initiative, will have a used oil drive this coming Saturday. This was originally scheduled for this past Saturday, but again, it will be held this coming Saturday, the 13th, at the Highland Middle School parking lot, and it will be held from 8 till noon on Saturday. Also, don't forget the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation still has scholarships available for the upcoming school year. The applicants must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is attending an Illinois junior college, university, or career technical education program and is majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through a Macoupin County High School guidance counselor, ag teacher, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. You can request an electronic copy by email from mcfb@frontiernet.net, or you can call the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office in Carlinville at 854-2571. The applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by Friday, March 26th. And coming up on Saturday, March 27th, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be hosting a household hazardous waste collection. It will be held again Saturday, March 27th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds Butler from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. A list of accepted wastes will be posted on our website at WSMIRadio.com under the Ag News tab and in our community bulletin board, where you can read other community events going on throughout the area as well. Again, the Household Hazardous Waste Collection will be held Saturday, March 27th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds Butler from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and is sponsored by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau and the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. And that wraps up our Ag News here on a Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, March 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.